as you go around and campaign and talk to people, I guess what is the biggest thing you're hearing as you go around and hit the streets and knock on doors?
So I've been in, obviously, Sitka, my hometown, just came from Wrangell and here in Petersburg, and consistently among all those communities our ferry service is the number one issue on people's minds. The fact that we don't have schedules that work for our communities, for our schools to get kids to and from activities, and the economic lifeblood of this region. They're very, very concerned about the replacement of the fleet on a regular schedule and having a schedule in place far enough in advance that it can be useful, and frankly a schedule that works for communities instead of having two boats in town in a relatively short period of time both going in the same direction. Pretty frustrating.
I know the state has been making a real effort to get out schedules ahead of time. I think they've even got out next summer's schedule already. Are they doing the right kinds of things now and responding to some of these concerns? Or?
I think they have better leadership in that position right now than they had in the past. And I'm pleased with those schedules, those forward schedules coming out, and something that needs to happen. They played around with the system this summer, improving the ferry service into Sitka, certainly. We had more service than ever. And in Sitka, people have just written off riding the ferries. Many people have ridden it off, and they were saying, well, you don't have ridership. And I think this summer showed that it would. And I know that's has an impact on all the communities.
I know the state's going into its process of redoing its transportation plan for Southeast, its 10-year plan, and what the projects it plans to do and the way it plans to get people around the region. In looking ahead and looking at what the old plan was talking about, do you have ideas for what you'd like to see out of that plan? The old plan talked about a lot of connector roads and shuttle ferries in between the communities and that kind of thing. Is there something you'd like to see out of a new plan that comes out of the state? Or?
Well, I'd like to see a lot of public input. I'd like to see, no matter what, we're going to have to rely on ferries as island communities. And I think with Alaska's challenges with being targeted for our earmarks, which I think is done unjustly, I think we will have some challenging times building roads in this district, at least for the short term, because of what people perceive as projects that don't have as much of an importance. So I think that looking for a coordinated plan, and I really need to, I look forward to being able to see that plan and be more a part of the process.
On the topics of roads, one in particular, there's been a discussion at the state level of putting a road and some ferry links in between Petersburg and Cake and connecting those communities. There's also been a plan for a number of years to do an intertie, electrical transmission line between the two communities. The latest is the state is looking at the possibility of combining those two projects and making them go together. There's some concern, at least in Petersburg level, that being a delay on the intertie project because of adding the cost of a road, while the state says combining the two actually brings you overall cost savings. What do you think of, first of all, combining those two projects or the thought of a road between the two communities? It hasn't always been popular in Cake. It's got kind of mixed reviews for a road, but I know the intertie in the past has been a real need and something that both communities have pushed for. What are your thoughts on those projects and combining them?
I think that the number one need is for the electrical intertie, and I think that we have to look at the best routes to get Petersburg and Cake linked. As far as adding the road onto that, I think that really is going to need a high level of public input and get the various groups in agreement, Petersburg, Cake, and Kuprinoff. And I hope that the idea of tying the two projects together won't delay the much-needed intertie, because we really do need to get a line into Cake so those folks can help relieve the cost of the diesel generators and the high cost of electricity. as far as I know that there were different routes proposed, and DOT had a preferred route that really seems to not be setting well with the people in Kuprinoff, and looking at the overall expenses. Is this a time when we have the money to build a road? Are we going to be able to do that all on the state's dime? Are we going to be going to the federal government asking for them? If those are challenges or roadblocks, I hope it doesn't keep us from doing the number one priority, which is the intertie.
And the dollar amounts are somewhat staggering when you talk about a road project and the intertie. They're talking about in the neighborhood of $170 million for a combined project. Can the state continue to look at that kind of project in Southeast? I mean, we've had problems doing the Juneau Access Road, the bridge to Gravina Island. Where does this road to Cake and its project fall into the overall picture of funding transportation projects in Southeast? Because ultimately, on the legislative level, you might be dealing with the funding picture there.
I think because of the economic news in this state that there are many people in this country and in this state worried about spending money, and we really have to prioritize our projects and look at what we're trying to do. Is this road absolutely necessary? I think those are going to be the questions we need to ask. And looking at the long, I know that the state of Alaska doesn't have the greatest reputation on maintaining the roads that we already have that are in bad repair, and we need to address those as life safety issues. So I think we need to look at the data and compelling testimony from the public and penciling it out over the long run, and then seeing what the plan is to operate and maintain those, because we cannot continue to build infrastructure if we don't have a plan to how we're going to pay for it down the road and operate it.
And I think on Sitka's end, there was originally talk about road projects across Baranoff, and that it was a similar kind of situation. It didn't necessarily have the same kind of support for a project. Is that right?
It's a issue that divides the community. There are some people who are strongly advocating for the road. They feel that it will increase our ferry service and be an economic boon. And then there are other people that are very concerned about the treacherous terrain crossing the island and what it would mean to keep those roads cleared. A lot of parents are concerned about kids driving on that road. It has been a divisive issue, but it really doesn't seem to have traction at this point in time.
And then you throw another road project into the mix, the Bradfield Canal Road, which is very important to the people of Wrangell, I know, for many years. How do you approach so many roads, so many projects, and people who want them very much and others who say this isn't the way to go right now?
I think we have to look at the current political landscape and have a sense of what's feasible for the time, to look at the long-range plans of where these roads fit, if it's in the short-term time frame. The Bradfield Canal really has seemed to be stalling. I heard Senator Stedman refer to that in a meeting he did with the Chamber of Commerce a few months back.
Kind of changing gears and talking about education funding, some of the rural communities in Southeast kind of dodged a bullet this month when there was a reauthorization of the Secure Rural Schools funding. Given that program is just a four-year reauthorization and there's a possibility that it might not see reauthorization again at the end of that, is that something the state should look at taking over and filling that gap of funding for rural communities that are near national forest land, or should these communities be looking elsewhere to fill in a pretty big hole in budgets? For Petersburg, it's about $900,000 a year they had been getting and might have to prepare for losing that again in 4 years. Is that all a state responsibility? Is it something the communities should be asking for from the state?
I think that we have dodged a bullet with getting that authorization. And with the 4 years, I know some communities haven't budgeted for that money until it was absolutely set. And that school, I would say if I were on a school board, I would be looking at not counting on that money being there. And then as far as the state picking up the slack, I think the state really does need to look at that over time, that the cost of education in our communities is considerable, and where do our communities have the revenue to take that over. That it's a real challenge for local communities to make up that difference. So I do see the state having a role to play.
I wanted to ask a couple questions about Governor Sarah Palin. She's out on the campaign trail, and get your take on how her candidacy, if at all, if you think it will affect state business and how the government is run in Alaska. Is it going to hurt the state of Alaska to have her out on the campaign trail for these many months, whether or not she gets elected?
Well, I am under the impression that she is still in touch with officials and is still trying to keep abreast of things. But I think it must be very challenging that she is not able to pay as much attention to our state affairs as many people want their governor to. Certainly, her high profile in the national scene has brought many eyes to Alaska issues, and that we have an opportunity to educate the rest of the world and country. And unfortunately, some of that press hasn't been all that flattering or all that accurate in some ways. I think that Governor Palin has advocated for some projects that are important to me and to other Alaskans, and I'd like to see that effort go forward. The natural gas pipeline, certainly. I really agreed with her her advocating for the higher petroleum profits tax. I think I would have voted the same way on AGEA and on that PPT tax. And that she has started some initiatives that are very important in the state, and I hope to see them continue.
Assuming she were not to win the election and had to come back to the state and continue on as governor, has her relationship changed at all with the people of the state? Has she worsened anything between people by what she is going out and saying on the national scene?
Well, we are learning much more about the way she ran government in Wasilla and how she has appointed different people to boards and commissions. We're learning a lot. I'm learning a lot that I didn't know before the election of how she governs. And I think that's something that Alaskans are going to have to look at and decide what is right for them. Could you repeat,
sure. Well,
Joe, that question?
I know she's made comments about the Bridge to Nowhere in Ketchikan and funding for that, and I know there's been some upset in Ketchikan about how she's phrased that and the funding for that. And it seems like if she comes back, there might be people who relationships that are damaged between her and the people who elected her governor originally. Is that your take? Do you see a problem with her coming back, or do you think she can come right back in after losing a presidential election, if that is the case, and step right back in and be a governor and work with the legislature and have no problems?
It's a bit hard to answer what might happen. I guess I could just talk about my point of view. And when I'm a legislator working, say the situation is working with Governor Palin, I will try very much to have the past be the past and to focus on what do we need to do for Alaskans right now, and in my charge, Southeast Alaskans. And I think that's one of the important things is Governor Palin, I don't think, understands Southeast Alaska, and really there's much more education that we need to do with her. So she knows about our infrastructure projects, that she really understands what the ferry system means to our communities. And I would make that my number one issue, is educating her and her staff on Southeast Alaska and building that relationship. Because part of my reason for entering this race is I feel that Southeast Alaska has been marginalized and that we really are losing influence. We've been leaders. We've had leaders in state government, and we need a strong advocate who is good at explaining and convincing other people that our issues are important, not only to us here, but the entire state. So when she comes back, I can't really talk about, you know, her effectiveness, but I know that I would be working hard to work with her for the benefit of Alaskans.
And then flipping it around, assuming she does win the vice presidential spot and the state goes ahead with Sean Parnell as governor, what are your thoughts on a Parnell administration and how you would work with that? Would that look any different than a Palin administration?
Well, I think it's really untested. I think that from what I hear, people in Southeast, they don't know a lot about him. So I think we have a lot to learn about what he's going to do. And I haven't heard him say that he would continue the same policies and procedures of Governor Palin. It may be that that's what he's intending to do, but I would have to be in a wait and see.
What other issues do you hear most out on the campaign trail that we aren't talking about, that I'm not asking about or other media aren't asking about?
Boy, people are concerned about developing our renewable resources. Of course, we're focused on hydropower here, but people are talking about biomass, of those wood-burning generators and those, you know, entrepreneurial projects that people are trying to come up with great ideas, geothermal and tidal wind projects. People are excited in this state, and I believe, and I've heard some other people articulate, that because of our abundant natural resources in this area, that Alaska should really be the frontier and the forefront of developing these new technologies. The world needs it on so many different fronts because of the economy, because of climate change, and we certainly suffer the impacts in this state of climate change. And I think that Alaskans, with their ingenuity, with the great scientists that we have working here, to really invest in the research and development of these alternative energy resources so Alaska can help create the solution for world energy issues.
So funding grant programs or funding for the university?
Any and all of the above. Putting money into individuals who have good ideas, making sure that our research through the university system is well-funded. Certainly, it sounds like there's the will of the federal, both candidates, McCain and Obama, are talking about that, of wanting to develop renewable resources. So there could be money from there. And we have the resources, the power behind it to really test the different models. So that's the bright future of Alaska. I see a lot of green-collar jobs for Alaskans, good-paying jobs.
And in terms of, tightening up people's homes, too, and making them more efficient, the programs that the legislature has funded are wildly popular. There being, you know, people around the state are taking advantage of the energy rating and getting money from the state. If you were elected, would you continue putting money into that program?
Yes, I think we get a lot of bang for the buck in that type of a program, Alaska Housing and Finance, various programs that people can apply. It's helping people stay warmer in the winter. It's reducing fuel cost bills. It's saving energy. It seems to be a well-managed program that's accountable. And I think it's a great program. That it's programs like that, when you evaluate them at the end of the day and they're working for people, that's the kind of program that should continue and be funded.
I wanted to make sure I ask, too, about health care in the state and covering the cost of health care. Do you see it as a right that government should provide for all Alaskans, or should it remain as it is, something that's a commodity, a privately provided commodity, really only available to people who can pay for it and afford it? Where do you stand on that?
I sort of feel like McCain and Obama. Is it a right or a responsibility? Exactly. For me, I believe health care is a right. I think if we have an individual in our community who comes down with cancer and they don't have the means to pay for it, they make just enough money that they are not eligible for aid, do we not allow that person to receive treatment? I believe as communities and as human beings that we really do, that we do have the right to that, and we want our neighbors to have the right to that. And it's one of the challenges. Right now, with healthcare spending, the huge percentage of the gross national product that healthcare costs make, this country will suffer severe consequences if we don't come up with a system. And I know that there are other states that have models. Massachusetts is one. And I think we really need to look at, should the state come up with a universal health care package We can't wait for the federal government to do it. Maybe we need to do it on our own. And I think we really need to look at those models again, evaluate them, what would work, and make sure that children, our elders, our senior citizens, you know, all of us have access to safe and affordable health care, because that, again, is the infrastructure of our society. And if people are well and happy, if they are in good health, they can be more productive. We will have more economic strength. We will be able to achieve more as humans and Americans and Alaskans.
And we've talked a lot about projects and things that need to be done and big dollar amounts. The state at the moment has lots of money, but it wasn't so long ago that it didn't have lots of money, and it was running in big deficits, and that's conceivable. It could be not too far away if oil drops down again. What do we do if that's the case, if we get back to that point where we're looking at cutting budgets or raising more revenue, or how do we address that, and do you have a plan for a fiscal future for the state?
Well, I think even today the price of oil has dropped significantly, and that Alaska's economy is a resource economy, so it's a boom and bust cycle. What we really need to do is develop the long-range fiscal plan that accommodates for that whole up and down cycle. So maximizing our revenues as much as we can, developing new resources, whether it's power and hydro and how we can connect with the grid of the rest of North America, or other possibilities for us. I work in grants and planning at CERCH, and I am a person who believes in the business plan, and we need the business plan for the state. And at times you're going to, and basically when it all comes down to is, I really think we have to look at what is the basis or the foundation, that infrastructure. I keep going back to that word. But we need to stabilize that and then grow. We have so many, no doubt we will always have more needs in this state, whether it's behavioral health, mental health, health care, communities suffering erosion. I mean, there are many great needs and issues, and we don't have the resources to address them all. But we have to look at, as a people, what are the most important ones that we need to, and fund those programs. And in times of fiscal uncertainty, we need to be very wise with where we put our money.
And you had already mentioned the natural gas pipeline as one big one. Do you think we're a lot closer to getting that done with AGEA now in place and TransCanada license being there? Do you think it's going to be built?
Well, that's one that I think that Governor Palin's high-profile position has perhaps helped. I know there was the concern, well, we don't have the promise that will be built. But I have to hope that the rest of the country is seeing natural gas as that good, clean energy, and hoping that TransCanada will come through. And it sounds like the oil companies have their Denali project going forth. So I think it accomplished what we wanted, and we're off that dime. Instead of sitting there and in inaction, people are actually moving toward the creation of a gas pipeline.